And that is our, that's our prayer, it's our hope, right? That as we learn more about Jesus, as we study Him, as we look at what Scripture, what the Gospel accounts say about Him, that we will be drawn deeper into relationship with Him, drawn deeper into Him. So the other day, we were out running some errands. Sarah has given Adeline one of her old iPhones. And so Adeline has enjoyed playing with it. Now, it doesn't work. But in her mind, you know how a kid's imagination goes. In her mind, it works. And so we were running errands, and she left this phone that does not work in the car. Well, we went and picked a couple things up. Got back in the car, and Adeline picks up her phone, and she says, "Oh, man, nobody called me." But she said, "I kid you not, but I have a few text messages." And so she started sending her text messages back. What that reminded me of was that kids are influenced by what they see around us, and really all of us are influenced by our surroundings, our culture, right? Audrey yesterday had the TV on, and I know this is going to come as a surprise to you, but football was on. It was not the Buckeyes that were playing, but as soon as Audrey saw that there was football on TV, she said, "Go Buckeyes." I wonder where she got that from. And then we were having dinner at a restaurant, and there was a picture of this was a football team up there, and I mean they had like blue and orange uniforms, and again Audrey looked at it and said, "Go Buckeyes." And so you can see again this this way in which kids are influenced, and all of us are influenced by our culture. It's been said that we breathe cultural air. You can't get away from it. It's all around us. It becomes actually part of who we are. I want us to, thinking about that, I'd like us to reflect for just a moment on 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, thinking about how we are influenced by culture. Listen to what John says here. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So this world, as John is speaking about it here, it draws us away from God. It's drifting away from what God would desire for His people and for all creation. Sometimes we talk about it in this way. We say we live in a fractured or broken world. You watch the news now and you see what's taking place to these, what we might call icons in our culture, and the terrible moral failures that have taken place. It's a reminder that we live in a broken and fractured world, and it hits everybody. And so there is this drift away from what God desires for people and for creation. A.W. Tozer, a preacher, a theologian, has written a great deal about Christian life. And one of the things that he writes about, and I'm going to kind of summarize them here this morning, are these rules for self-discovery. It's these rules for self-discovery. And what I want us to think about as we hear these this morning is, how does Jesus inform our response to these rules of self-discovery? How does Jesus inform your response to these, okay? What we want most. What is it that we want most in life? What we think about most. What do we think about most? How we use our money. What we do with our leisure time. the company we enjoy, who and what we admire, what we laugh at, what we think is funny or entertaining. Again, the exercise here is think about how Jesus informs your response to what you think about, how you use your money, the company we enjoy, what we laugh at. And the thing is, as you start reflecting on those, I imagine, at least this was the case for me, you start to see pretty easily how culture influences that. For instance, what's entertaining or what you laugh at. I could reflect back on my high school days, and perhaps it'd be the same for you. You think about the company that you keep and how your friends, your influences, impact the decisions that you make, the way in which you talk, what you think about, what you see. We breathe this cultural air, and it makes an impact on us. Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, if you remember, he's the one that made that faithful, bold proclamation about Jesus, a recognition that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. Jesus had very bold and powerful things to say about Jesus and about that confession that Peter had made. Peter was ready to die with Christ if that's what was needed. He was standing strong on his faith in Jesus Christ. But you do remember what happened just a few days later when Jesus was on trial? Peter was interacting with just some ordinary people standing around a fire. Somebody says, actually it happens a couple different times, "Wait a second. I recognize you. You were with Jesus." And what does Peter say? Does he proudly say, "You bet I've been with Jesus. I know who Jesus is, and I will stand to fight to Jesus as far as I need to go. I'm willing to do it for Jesus." Is that what Peter says? What are you talking about? "I don't know the man." That's what Peter says to some ordinary, regular folks. We're influenced by a lot of different factors. We're influenced by culture. And the problem is, oftentimes, I believe, we're actually more influenced by culture than we're influenced by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this series is all about, it's all about knowing Jesus. Last week, we talked about knowing Jesus as King. This week, we're going to talk about knowing Jesus as our teacher. And it comes down to this. This is what this series is all about. If Jesus is the Christ, if He is the King, if He is our Savior, if He is our Lord, if He is our teacher, then that ought to influence how we live in drastic ways. Now, I think we'll see that today as we talk about Jesus as our teacher. First of all, in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, it says this. "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach." So this is his custom. That's what Jesus was about, establishing himself as teacher. Verse 22, "The people were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law." So Jesus is establishing himself as a teacher, much like the rabbis of that day. And then Matthew 23, verses 5 through 10. "Everything is done for people to see." This is Jesus speaking. "They make phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others." Then he says this to the disciples, "But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah." And so Jesus says that He is the teacher, and we, the disciples, our students, our learners. And here's what happens when we recognize Jesus as the teacher. First of all, I believe that we can have this incredible peace when we recognize him as teacher. Passage that we've already looked at this morning, I'd like for us to look at again in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so yoke here means teaching, a way of life. Rabbis in the first century talked about yoke in that way. Of course, you can talk about yoke with oxen, but it also meant this teaching, this way of life that one lived, and you gained that from the rabbi or from the teacher. And Jesus says that in following him and learning from him, you can have rest. And I believe this rest is living in the presence and the protection of God. It's living in such a way that one has a clear focus and mission to live as Jesus has called one to live, loving others as you love yourself, serving others, even being willing to wash others' feet, looking at others as if they truly are made in the image of God, granting them that kind of dignity. Jesus says, "Take my teaching upon you. It's light. It's easy." And of course, that's in contrast to the teachers of the law in that day. Their way of teaching was burdensome and heavy. And of course, we know that it's been talked about this way, that they would build fences around the law, right? And in that way, they would keep people from even interacting with God in the way that they should. They were so nervous, so afraid of doing something that would be considered law breaking, something that would be wrong. And so the focus was no longer in living in relationship with God and living out the way of God in the world. The focus became actually the law itself and all of these laws that were acted as fences for the way that people were to live. Jesus said, "Not so with me. I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. Come to me and I will show you how to live." Following Jesus, living out his teachings, leads to peace, living with the protection and security in God. Jesus says this as well, John 14, verses 25 through 27. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Of course, Jesus is saying this to some folks who are going to experience many ups and downs in their life. Yes, they're going to have mountaintop moments proclaiming the gospel, but they're also going to find themselves beaten and imprisoned because of the proclamation that they're making that Jesus is the true king and that salvation comes through him. And yet, they could have peace because of the God who was working in them. Now think of Paul in this case. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's in prison because of his work for the gospel. And do you remember what Paul was doing while he was in prison during that time? You remember? He was singing praises to his God. How could Paul have that kind of peace while he was in prison? Because he recognized the power and the peace of God that was within him as he was doing the work of the gospel. So when Jesus is our teacher, we can have peace. It is the pathway to peace. When Jesus is our teacher, we will serve. One of the primary lessons of the teacher was service. Let's reflect for a moment on what Jesus said in John 13, verses 12 through 17. Of course, right before Jesus says this, he gives them an object lesson. He washes the disciples' feet. It says here, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and return to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So Jesus says, here's first lesson, if you will, in my school. He washes the feet. He shows them how they are to live. And he says, okay, you want to be my disciple. You want to live out my teaching. You want to take on this yoke. Wash feet. That's how it works. That's your witness to a culture that is drifting away from God. Wash feet. He sets the example. So when Jesus is our teacher, we will serve. We will care for others. Maybe even if it's uncomfortable, we'll write that note. We'll send that text. We'll step out to help that person that's in need. We will visit that person who is in the hospital. If someone is hurting, we will give them a call. We will serve. That's what it means to live in relationship with this rabbi, this teacher. And then we will teach others. In Matthew 28, 16 through 20, we have this section of scripture we refer to as the Great Commission. I want to highlight just one section of this morning. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, make learners, students of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we go, make disciples, and continue to teach. Teach what? Teach about the hope that we have in Christ. Teach about the way that he desires us to live. Teach what you see, for instance, in Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. How to treat others, to give to others, to love our enemies, to serve those, to go the extra mile, to turn the other cheek, to bless those who persecute you. That's what we're to teach. That's what we're to share with others. And so it's not just about, I want to be clear on this, it's not just about going and baptizing folks. Now that's important. We've emphasized that, and may we continue to do that, but it's also about teaching so that folks can grow up as disciples, to mature in the faith, if you will. I thought of Larry Sanders in reflecting on this passage, someone who has been on fire for the Lord, has been taught the way of God and know the scripture, and now is teaching others. When he teaches, it's evident his love for God. He's teaching, and now he's teaching others. Or he was taught, and now he is teaching others. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it gives us a starting point, if you will, in living in relationship with this teacher. Then Jesus said to his disciples, again to his learners, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, my student, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And so carrying the cross, if you will, is kind of the backpack of the school of Jesus. All of us who are disciples of Jesus, we're bearing that cross. We're living out the way of Jesus, not just here on Sunday, but every day of the week and all of the different contexts that we find ourselves in school, at our workplace, with our friends, in our homes, all of us who are students of Jesus are cross-caring followers of His. I want to mention A.W. Tozer again to you. He says this, "The Christ-centered man forgets himself in his delighted preoccupation with Christ. Too many have been content to be armchair Christians, satisfied with the theology of the cross. Plainly, Christ never intended that we should rest in a mere theory of self-denial. His teaching identified his disciples with himself so intimately that they would have had to be extremely dull not to have understood that they were expected to experience very much the same pain and loss as he himself did. The healthy soul is the is the victorious soul, and victory never comes while self is permitted to remain unjudged and uncrucified." And so, recognizing Jesus as teacher, being a learner of his, Jesus says it starts with denying yourself, taking up cross, and following him. We sing this song on a regular basis. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Here in just a moment, I'm going to offer an invitation as we traditionally do. But first, I have an announcement to make. I don't know how else to say it. I am terrible at these kind of transitions, so I'm going to kind of fumble through this. So at the end of the month, on December 31st, that will be our last Sunday here. Sarah and I are, and the girls, we're going to take the girls with us, we decided. We're going to be moving to Lebanon, Tennessee, not to be confused with the Lebanon that's in the Middle East. This is Middle Tennessee that we're going to. So we've accepted a position there with the Maple Hill Church of Christ. And so we have this month with you all. Hopefully this can be a time of meaningful dialogue and conversation. We can share life with you for another month. And then at some point in January, we'll be starting with a congregation in Middle Tennessee. Thank you for that way that you have loved me and my family. Thank you for your care and your support. We love you all very much. This is a decision that we didn't come to lightly by any means. We have been praying over this, spending a lot of time, obviously Sarah and I talking to each other and talking with mentors about it. At this point in our life, we feel like God is leading us to this new work in Tennessee. Obviously, with the location, it's more centrally located when it comes to Ohio and Oklahoma. That's where our families are. Sarah's sister and brother-in-law live in Tennessee. But I want you to know now that's our plan. We'll be here for this month, continuing to preach in this series, Knowing Jesus. And then December 31st will be our last Sunday with you all here. We have just gratitude in our hearts. Our hearts are exploding with gratitude for the way that you all have loved us and cared for us. I am so confident that God is going to continue to work in just powerful ways in this congregation. Great leadership, great elders, great ministers, and I'll be just excited to hear the different ways that God uses you all to continue his work in this part of Texas. So here, now we got to transition again. Oh, okay.
That's perfect.
Let us know. We'd be glad to pray with you or for you. If anybody here today is ready to give your life over to Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, we would love to witness you do that today. So whatever need that you have, come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our awesome God.